Good evening. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to participate in this process. It's been very interesting so far. I know you want to know a little bit about me. My resume and bio apparently were in your newspaper. Everybody in St. Louis knows about it already. Can't have any secrets. But I've been around law enforcement for 38 years plus. I've been in every division of the St. Louis Police Department where I've spent my whole career. I've been in very diverse communities, very depressed areas, very affluent areas. There isn't a department or a unit in the police department that I haven't been in charge of or in command of. I've been the district commander in several districts. I have been the commander of internal affairs. I've been the director of the academy. I've been the secretary to the Board of Police Commissioners. And if you don't know about St. Louis and Kansas City are unique that we're run by the state. We're the only two cities in the country that are run by the state. Everybody else is run by their city. So the governor appoints four citizens to sit on our Board of Police Commissioners, and they come up with policy, develop the policy for the police department, but they don't run the police department. So it's very unique in that sense. And I was a liaison, excuse me, between the Board of Police Commissioners and the chief at the time. So I had that position for 2 years, and you really get to know the operations of the police department politics, state politics, city politics. So I've had a very well-rounded career. I'm very proud of what I've done in St. Louis, and I always tell everybody, don't be in one place too long. You get stagnant. You get bored. You need to develop your career, and the only way you can do that is to move around the department in various divisions and that. So I'm happy to be here. I look forward to the presentation tonight, the questioning and that. So hopefully you'll like what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. What in your background, Candidate Villa, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
Well, I think as I just said, my various assignments throughout the 38 years I've been in law enforcement, I've been in units where we've developed budgets, where we've developed grants, where we have taken control of problems and issues that we need to work with the community in. I've been in, like I've said, in North St. Louis, which is a very depressed area, where the citizens in that area felt that the police department had neglected them and felt that the city had neglected them. They didn't have any services from the city, and they felt that the police department didn't care about them. It was a very big challenge up there because they didn't trust the police. The policemen didn't like it. It was considered, and excuse my language, but it was considered the dumping ground of the police department. If we had issues with officers and they needed to be disciplined in that, they would push them into the 8th District. So the citizens were very upset about that type of a reputation. So I was there for 6 or 7 years, and it took quite a few years to change the reputation, to build that trust and respect in the community so that the community trusted us to make sure that the officers did their job. By the time that I left that district, I had officers that were asking to go to that district, and it wasn't considered a dumping ground anymore. And I think it was because everybody treated everybody with respect. There was a lot of communication. We built friendships. We built partnerships. We built relationships. We worked with city agencies to get things done. We worked with the federal government, specifically the U.S. Attorney's Office, on a weed and seed program, a ceasefire program. And it all took cooperation between not only the citizens but the police officers and all the city agencies and federal agencies.
Thank you. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African American community?
Well, to get change, you need communication. And I think most cities and communities that have issues with the relationship between the police and community and racial divide and that is because of lack of communication and lack of respect. So I've always, in the 38 years I've been on the police department, I've always made a point of going to community meetings so I could get to know the community and they could get to know me. Everybody's free to voice their opinion. We'll listen to anything. I don't go into a community and tell you what your problems are, because what's important to me may not be important to you, and you're the community, you're the citizens. I want to hear what you think your problems are and not what I tell you they are. And then we'll work together to solve those issues. It's not me solving them or you solving them or the officers working on it. It's all of us working together to solve the issues.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the Federal Secure Communities Program and your opinion of this initiative.
The Secure Communities
Program.
I'm not real familiar with it, but what I understand about it is similar to the stabilization programs that we've had in St. Louis to try to stabilize neighborhoods and prevent retaliation by individuals when we have homicides and that. We work very closely with the Minister's Alliance with our homicides and assaults and that to try to prevent the circle of violence, to make the community safer for everybody, to give you the quality of life that you expect and that you want in your neighborhood so that you can live there safely or work in a safe environment. So we work very closely with stabilizing the neighborhoods and getting everybody involved and making sure that our children are safe. We have a lot of, I've worked in a lot of programs with juveniles because they are our future. They're the future of the police department. They're the future of the city. They're the future of the state. They're the future of every community. So our youth are very important, and we need to develop a learning environment for them in the schools, which isn't always the case. Some of our schools have a lot of violence, mm-hmm. and so for them to learn, they have to feel safe in their communities and in their schools. So to do that, we have to work with them to make sure that they become vibrant adults and good citizens. And that's all part of stabilizing the neighborhood, caring for neighborhoods, having everything safe for everyone.
Thank you, candidate. How important is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
Morale is very important. Every agency goes through a period where morale is low or it gets mm-hmm. it's diminished. And in fact, it's usually over some incident that's happened between the community and the police department, and officers don't feel like the police department reacted in the proper way, so morale will go down, or if they haven't had a pay raise in many years, and lately that's difficult with the economy the way it is. So to build morale, we really have to talk to the officers, and when there's change, you have to explain to them why there's change, what change we're doing, how it's going to benefit them, how it's going to benefit the police department, how it's going to benefit the community. And the only way you can boost morale is to actually care about officers, care about what happens to them, care about that they have a life outside the police department, that it's not 24 hours as a police officer, but they have a family to take care of. And if you treat the officers with respect and treat them as human beings, treat them fairly, which a lot of times the upper command of the police department doesn't treat everybody fairly, but I've found that if you treat everybody fairly, that they'll do just about anything for you.
Thank you. African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign, candidate Phillip. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
I think every city has that issue, especially in Champaign, but everywhere. And if I was appointed here, The best way to do it, I feel, is to educate the officers. A lot of times when they're considered outlying, and that means that they've had a proportionate amount of racial forms that show that they're They're stopping more African Americans than whites. They don't understand that they don't think they've done that. So unless you sit down and talk to them and show them what they've done and how the numbers look, they don't actually realize that they are doing that intentionally or unintentionally. So it all goes back to education, educating the officers, mm-hmm. making sure they know the parameters of racial profiling, making sure they know the law, know why they can stop people, what probable cause is, and that you can't just violate people's rights anytime you want to just because you carry a gun and a badge.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizens' review board?
That topic's come up a lot lately, and again, most cities have issues with internal affairs and complaints and that on police officers. I personally do not think a citizens' review board is anything bad. The police department shouldn't have anything to hide, so if they don't have anything to hide, they shouldn't criticize a citizens' review board. There's many times that the citizens don't understand how we do things. When I was in internal affairs for a couple of years, we looked into getting a citizens' review board. We researched it a little bit and found that the cities that did have citizen review boards, that it didn't change the outcome very much. The number of complaints did not increase. The severity of discipline did not increase with the citizens' review board. What it did do is make the police department accountable to the city to explain to them why they do things in a certain way and how they do their investigations. And once the citizens' review board looked at the complaints and reviewed the reports in that, they understood more why we do things, how we do investigations, how we came up with the results, how we came up with the discipline. So I don't think that Citizens Review Board is a bad thing. I know officers think that as soon as a Citizens Review Board comes in that everybody's going to get fired, and that's not the case. The case is to keep the communication open between the community and the police department so that everything is transparent and they understand why we're doing it and what we're doing, and they have the option to send it back for more in-depth investigation or additional information. So I do not disapprove of a citizens' review board.
Thank you. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I've lived in my city my whole life. I didn't have to, but I did because I love the city. There's two thoughts on it. I don't have a problem with city residency. We had that issue in St. Louis, and it kind of divided the police department. But how I see it is some officers don't want to live in the city, and they use the excuse that it's the public school system, when, in fact, they don't take any effort to try to change it at all. However, they have the option. They don't have to send their children to public school. They can send them to a private school, although it would cost them more, but that would be their choice. And then they should, and I've always said this to the police department too, we should be working towards helping the Board of Education improve their accreditation. And at the same point, the public school system should also work with us to try to figure out how they can improve it, and maybe we can help them with it somehow. Another reason officers don't like to live in the city, because they fear that they're going to arrest somebody and then maybe a couple days later, a month later, they'll be out shopping with their family or eating in a restaurant and run into somebody that they arrested. And they think that that's a terrible thing. Well, that's the community. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the city, the county, some muni, you're going to run into people. It's a small world. And just because you arrested somebody doesn't mean that they're going to come up to you and interfere with what you're doing right then. So I don't have a problem with the residency, but those are the two things that I've seen where officers didn't want to live in the city because of those reasons, and I don't think they're viable reasons.
Thank you, Candidate Villa. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police-community relations?
Again, I would go out into the community, to the community meetings, and educate the community on the process of using pepper spray, tasers, any use of force, and the fact that we tell all our officers to use the least amount and progress from there. Officers also need to be educated, because I think when we went to pepper spray and tasers, that the officers are maybe too quick to use those rather than try to de-escalate the situation by a conversation and communicating with the individual. So it goes back to communication between the police department and the citizens, and I think everybody needs to understand the process of using the least amount of force and then continuing upwards from then if there is no reaction by the suspect.
Thank you. Candidate Phila, tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you have been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
I worked with the Northside Community Center at one point for at-risk youth. We had an area that was gang infested, a lot of narcotics, a lot of truancy, a lot of curfew. So we worked with Northside Community Center, and we developed a grant where we got money to supply resources to families and juveniles whenever we thought they were at risk. And the officers would, when they would encounter somebody that they thought needed some guidance, instead of taking them to juvenile detention or the juvenile building, they would refer them to the Northside Community Center. And the Northside Community Center had various city agencies on board, and they would provide services to that family and that child. A lot of times it was parenting skills. A lot of time it was tutoring. Any services by the city agencies that were available, mm-hmm. they were given the opportunity to use those. Did that answer it?
Oh, for sure. Thank you. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
I think it's an ongoing training. You can't just give officers training once. They need to do training every year periodically on the use of force, because we do use it quite often, and they have to be educated on the progressive use of it from the least amount to the most serious. A lot of times they get tunnel vision, and they forget about the rules and regulations, so you have to remind them, just like anybody else, you have to remind them of rules and regulations. So to get the officers educated, trained properly, and again, make sure the citizens know what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Thank you. This will be your final question. Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
Yes, I would, because our communities are evolving every day, every week. There's changes going on in every city all the time. I can give you an example of when a few years ago I was in command of a district where we worked with the International Institute a lot on people coming over from Bosnia. And they settled in the district that I commanded. So there were thousands of Bosnians taking up residency in this district, and our officers didn't know the culture. I didn't know the culture. The Bosnians didn't know the American culture. So it was very challenging for me, because over in Bosnia, they didn't recognize female leaders. It was very unusual for them. Mm-hmm. So they had to learn our culture, and we had to learn those. So I worked with the International Institute, and we got the public school system to offer some classes for our officers in the district on the Bosnian culture, so they would know how to handle incidents when they were involved, some of their people. So we had those classes. We also had some classes on their language, although I don't think the officers developed the language skills like they did learn the cultural skills. And it made the communication between the citizens and our officers a lot better after they had those training classes. So now they've taken over a whole area that used to be very depressed, vacant storefronts and that, and now they've got lots of restaurants, coffee houses, bars. In fact, they took over a dairy, not a farm, but where they process milk and that, mm-hmm. and they redid that with over $1 million, and there's a beautiful back room that has a fireplace, and they offer it to us for free for our meetings and that. So we've come a long way in the community down there.
Thank you. At this time, candidate, we would like to offer you the opportunity or to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Wow, 2 minutes.
Oh, yes.
Well, again, I thank you for this opportunity. It's been an enlightening experience. Like I've said, I've spent 38 years in law enforcement. It's all been in St. Louis. And to come here, it's a great city. Champaign is a very vibrant, energetic city. You have a lot of college students, which keeps everybody busy and keeps you energized in that. I'm to the point where I've done everything I can in St. Louis. I've been in every unit. I'm kind of stagnant now. I'm looking for a new challenge. And I think this is a lovely city. I'd love to be here, and it's halfway between St. Louis and Chicago. My son lives in Chicago, so it would be very convenient. But no, somebody had told me about the community, and I had been here numerous times. My sister did sabbaticals here, so I came down and visited her while she was here. I have friends in Peoria, so I've been here quite a few times. And when I was told about the job opening, I thought, what a great opportunity. What a great place to live and start a new life. So I look forward to it. If you choose me, I do my best for you and work with all of you very closely. Thank you.
Thank you.